Pesach.
Welcome to Brutal Brunch with your hosts Matt Moore and Matt Mastromorrow.
What do any of you know about being brutal?
Featuring Massachusetts metal and punk.
Those lyrics about hell, demons, and doom. What if I told you it's all real?
WMFO Medford.
What the prime time, bitch!
Yes, hello and welcome to a special Boxing Day edition, day after Christmas edition of Brutal Brunch. We are here for 5 hours.
5 hours. That's ridiculous.
To review the decade that was to 2010 to 2019.
I can't believe that's a decade.
That's, I know. And if you could believe, so we had a little pre-show there before the intro, Memories by Weezer, featuring the full Jackass crew from Jackass 3D.
Great song.
Since
great
that song came in, that movie came out back in 2010.
Outrageous.
Perfectly fitting sentiment. Cast members are no longer with us that were on that version. Special leaked edition. But anyway, we're here until 5 o'clock. We have a lot to get to, so we're going to get to the music pretty quickly here. But to run down what we're doing, we have Norbit calling in at 12:30 for wrestling takes.
We have
Smarf coming at, calling in at 12:50 in a little unbalanced breakfast reunion. It's kind of like these are all guests from the past decade-ish that we've had on the
like,
show.
It's like your Christmas carol.
Exactly. Yes. A lot of ghosts of Christmas past. Then we have Tina from Black Widow Yoga. She's going to call in around a little after 1.
Perfect.
Then at 2 o'clock, we got Joe DeSalvo, who's going to be making his third appearance on the show. He's calling in.
Excellent.
He of many bands. And then Doug Flood is going to be calling in around 3 to talk about Pizza Stock. We had him in studio a couple years ago to talk about that event, which is continued on. So, Matt, Merry Christmas. I hope everyone had a well
Christmas.
Yesterday.
It did. We've been celebrating for a week. I haven't gained any weight, although I am 3 times rounder and more bloated due to sugar and salt.
Love it.
And
we got more to go.
I feel great. I feel excellent right now.
Perfect. That's how we should all be feeling.
Thank you.
If you want to call in here, you are listening to Brutal Brunch on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. It is back. So you can listen live there. The numbers here are 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. If you have any opinions from the decade,
keep it yourself.
We're also going to be counting down the top 50 songs of the decade. And Matt, this is like... I'm only one man, but it's like kind of stupid for somebody to sit there. Like, I hate these the song structures of what song's better than this one. Like, it's too much. You
from
can't
2010
do that.
To the, it's impossible.
So, I have 50 songs here, and a lot of them have like either personal, like there's a personal reason why these songs are on the countdown.
Yeah.
In fact, I made a lie out of myself on Sunday because a song I said wasn't going to be on this countdown wound up on the countdown.
Of course it is.
A lot of songs that were
it's
famous on this show in particular. So I want to kick things off though with the man, the myth, the legend himself, who came out with an album last year. He was back in a big way.
I'm so excited.
And this video has a local connection. It is Andrew W.K., and he came out with an album last year, and this song, and I believe the studio musicians for the album, this song is Music Is Worth Living For.
Excellent.
And the video, if you check it out, features Dave Pino from Pino Brothers Inc. over in Cambridge. He's one of like 17 guitarists currently in the band.
That's right.
But definitely, if you want to feel pumped up, watch this video, and you're going to listen to the song. Right now, it's number 50 on the Brutal Brunch Top 50 Songs of the Decade 2010 to 2019.
Play. Victoria, just like a morning dove. And there's no glory in dysphoria, Victoria. She couldn't cope and got a rope, but she had lost all hope and didn't know what else to do. She wrote a note, an anecdote of her troubles and woes, and left it in plain view. When a father arrived, led her in and he cried, ran out the house to find his little girl took her life. This is the story of Victoria, just like a morning dove. Just like a morning dove. But there's no glory in dysphoria, Victoria. Yeah, Victoria. At 13 she was unseen by her whole family.
was Lady Hawk coming in at number 46 on our top 50 songs of the decade. Matt is not enjoying the top of this countdown yet, but Matt, I guarantee
like
you,
Andrew WK.
You're going to love the next song.
It will not be slandered.
That was Blue Eyes, one of the themes from the NCAA tournament, if you watch every year and see the commercials, because it's in like all the commercials.
No.
Before that, we had Creeper with Hiding with Boys. They sort of disbanded last year in 2018. Mm. They are also from Southampton.
Oh, okay. That's right. We were talking about confusing soccer rules.
We've had two Boxing Day miracles so far. One is my card works now. The second one is that Southampton knocked off Chelsea at Stamford Bridge 2-0 to go a week and a half ago. They're in 18th place.
Yep.
And now they're in 13th.
Very exciting. The other miracle being you explained to me the rules of the Premier League, and I went, oh, that's interesting, instead of shut up, nerd.
that's a big step,
that's
breaking you down.
Yeah.
Number 48 was Bad Cop, Bad Cop with Victoria. 49, Silverstein, The Sad Boys with a Midwestern State of Emergency. We kicked off number 50, Andrew WK, Music is Worth Living For. And now we have a PSA before we get to 45.
It's storm season, with power outages and weather-related emergencies more likely than the rest of the year. So be prepared ahead of time by having a couple of gallons of drinking water and at least a few days' worth of healthy, tasty, ready-to-eat food already stored in your home. Let other people scramble to the supermarket and wait on long lines while you safely ride out the storm from the comfort of your home. A public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio, and I feel that something is happening. What could it be?
Uh-oh.
I feel overcome by a revelation! As we break down the last 10 years, I've been struck by a revelation. Of the 10 years to come.
We have a prediction.
I have a prediction. In the year 2525. Come on, you.
Wait, 2025 or 2525?
2025.
That went one hell of a prediction.
Rising tides will continue at an alarming rate, causing Ralph's in Worcester to briefly become a waterfront attraction before being pulled into the sea. And that is my prediction. Stay tuned for additional predictions.
We have more coming.
Good day.
All right, I love it. Well then, in that case,
everything does work. Oh, guys, it wouldn't be a show if nothing worked. Hang on. That's all I wanted.
What is that from?
Conan.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Well, stay tuned for more of those, Matt. Are you going to be doing metal history today, or are you only doing metal?
Absolutely not. To come? Just predictions.
I also like that your prediction incorporated another PSA. A little bit. Also give a nice plug to Ralph's.
To Ralph's. It is, time is over. It's ending. This is weird. Anyway, this is a technical issue that I'll work it on my own.
All right, that sounds good. In the meantime, why don't we get back to the countdown then?
Hell yeah.
By the way, so we are going to play our next song, and then we'll have Norbert calling in to discuss wrestling. We have a wrestling montage that we may or may not get to, depending on the time. Matt, you have your predictions throughout the week. We also have the sports in review, which will include the team we just discussed from Southampton.
Of course. We have to talk about soccer.
Obviously.
We have to talk about soccer.
Why are we here?
I don't know.
Okay, and then so we got Norbit at 12:30, Smarf at 12:50, and then Tina at 1:10. So we're going to be a little spotty with the countdown from now until then. But why don't we get back at it? Number 45, Matt, this is a song we actually played. It's not the song I lied about, but it's a song that we recently played. And it brings back a lot of memories that flood in from RPM Fest.
Oh, good.
We saw this band in 2016. And it reminds you of, yes, the lady who came out of the bushes to talk about Turkish horror movies, many other things. This song set the aesthetic for that Friday night.
One of the greatest musical moments of all time.
That Friday night was like magical.
The sun was setting.
It was hot as hell, and then the sun went down.
Ugh.
It was great. The sun was setting, and then just like, imagine, close your eyes and imagine that you're at this outdoor festival, and just like smoke, probably not even a smoke machine, probably like just actual
real
weed
smoke.
Just filling the stage. And then
walk on stage.
Here you go, number 45.
We'll be right back.
There it is. Oxen, number 45. And this is perfect timing.
Look at this. What a radio professional.
What a professional. We have our first guest of the day. WMFO, hello.
Oh, hello, hello.
Oh, yes.
It is Norbit himself calling in for Fantastic Wrestling Takes. How are you?
The God.
I'm not bad. I'm jumping right in, huh? Right on.
Excellent.
Right on.
That was perfect timing. The song had just ended, and Norbit is in. He's ready to go. We love it. So,
they're prompt.
Norbit, Merry Christmas. Everything going well on your end?
Same, yeah. Merry Christmas to you guys. All is well. It was a pretty hectic day, but hey, better than, you know.
Exactly. Thank you for taking the time on your lunch break to call in promptly for this interview. But okay, you are our resident wrestling expert, as well as our resident Linkin Park expert. Stone Sour expert.
Yep.
And all things of that nature. So let me just ask you. We wanted to hear, in your opinion, the best and worst pay per view match, moment, and wrestler of the decade.
Sour pay per view.
Pay-per-view. You wanted the worst pay-per-view of all time, of this decade, I should say. I do think it's of all time, actually.
And really? Wow.
Part of it is having to have sat through it. And having been so, you know, you hear the big four pay-per-views, you're like, yeah, let's go. Then Survivor Series 2013 goes rolling into the Garden, and you get Big Show versus Randy Orton in your main event.
Just a wet fart right in your face.
The Big Show fell off the rope. everyone was kind of paused and were like, what are we doing here? What, we paid for this? Like, get out of here.
A moment when you're embarrassed to be a wrestling fan. Like the.
And it was like the weirdest night, too, because you had Wes Welker coming back Sunday Night Football. So everyone was like, oh, I'm going to go to the bar, leave this. People started to leave it, and they realized you passed her down like three touchdowns. And then. Cass came back and won, but you couldn't say the same thing for the show. That's for sure.
did McMahon come out at the end of that show, or is this another one?
He did. No, he came out. None of it made air, and it was the best, 10 minutes of the whole night. Just came out. Kane was, holding him back. He threw his sports coat down, ripped his tie off, was just, flexing. I was, figured he'd probably need to do something to save it, send the people home happy.
Yeah.
Wasn't happening.
No John Cena dark match, the call outs to Kowloon restaurant, like that to pop the crowd.
I think he fought Del Rio earlier on in the night and was, I think he was already on his way there.
That's
yikes. He knew it was a stinker and got out of town.
Well, I can't argue with that. That's a pretty bad.
That's good. Go ahead.
It's also bad, and it's one that many people watched.
That's the analog.
I'm sure there are worse.
TNA definitely had some nominations
that nobody saw.
I heard the last this final battle for Ring of Honor is pretty bad, but anyway, yeah. So yeah. Excellent choice.
Good choice, John. As usual.
What's your best pay per view of the decade?
You know, I think it's this one. I don't know. I think it's tough to beat just the visuals of it. The ending was actually what everyone wanted, and you had the huge surprise. I think it's WrestleMania 30.
Yeah.
No. WWE heavy here, but the whole Daniel Bryan story leading into that, two matches in one night, which you could, get Brock in there beating The Undertaker.
That's
a great show all around.
I agree. I love
too.
That pay-per-view.
You can take a picture of anything that happened at the end of that match, and it's like a painting of Daniel Bryan with two belts, I think.
Oh, and visually looking at it, when you see stills throughout just the whole show.
Yeah.
Just how the arena itself looked on TV was just unbelievable.
The one gripe I have is now that he's shaved his beard and has gone back to handsome Daniel Bryan is that we didn't get handsome Daniel Bryan for WrestleMania 30. We got scruffy Daniel Bryan, which is,
that is true.
Objectively worse.
Well, he was temporarily brother Bryan, right? And brother Daniel Bryan and the Wyatt
that's
family.
Right. They threw that storyline away. They're like, nope. He's a champion.
I don't even know if they really brought it back a couple weeks ago when he fought The Fiend. that happened?
That's outrageous.
Exactly.
There's too much wrestling right now.
All right, so how about individual matches, Norbit?
Best match.
Individual matches. I think I'd mentioned this to you guys recently, but I guess there's a couple, but if you want to go with a gimmick match, Sheamus and Roman Reigns. A TLC match.
Really?
Years ago.
Really? This is the kind of
make an appearance.
This is the kind of vintage. Like, I love... And what year is this?
Oh, man. I watched... This was, like, 5 years ago.
This is excellent.
5 years ago. It was right as they were really trying to get Roman Reigns cheered, and the place went nuts for him. And then it instantly went back. I think they were in, like, Philly the next night or something like that for Raw, and it just, like, it immediately went back to boo.
Wait, what was the gimmick?
It was a TLC match.
Oh, okay. Everything. Yep.
And, like, Sheamus was, I think Sheamus was champ at the time, and he had, like, his whole, like, gang of like foreigner bad
guys.
Oh,
like the European Union or whatever it was.
Yeah.
The League of Nations.
Well, yeah, something like that. Yeah, it was terrible. But it was like one match where like everyone was like, finally, we got Roman. This is great. And then I think they booed the team of the team bad guys, the international bad guys, more so than they were booing Roman.
Those guys got heat.
Team Bond villains.
I don't even know what I would say match of the decade. There's so many. Like, there's so many for different reasons, yeah. Too, right? Like,
yes.
Like, you would say, like, to me, it's always like the last one I saw. So I'm like, oh, David Starr versus Joey Janela, obviously, the death match. Because
right.
I was like an inch away and there was barbed wire and David Starr called Worcester Boston and the crowd went absolutely buck wild.
No, and I agree too. Because I'm going back trying to think, like, I have personal ones for being lucky enough to go to a lot of shows.
Yeah.
But, like, it's what I've seen on TV. Because, like, that Janela Omega dark match that they had at the Aganis Arena, it was like a death match and just something you weren't expecting whatsoever.
The AEW show?
Which is like, yeah. And it's like, does that help add to it? You know, does that make it that much better? Because, like, it was the surprise aspect of it. Or it was actually just a really good match.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's all personal. I mean, because, like, wrestling match with, like, the most moves, it would just be some New Japan match, you know, like who guys did the most flips. So it has to speak to you on a certain level for it to be the best for you for the decade.
And sometimes it needs to be a little dangerous. That's what I like.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
You see so much of it and so much, you know, as much as we love it, so choreographed.
That right.
You
yes.
can see something.
You
where,
become jaded.
Yeah. Yep. And you can see someone make a mistake or you can, there's that element that you haven't seen in a while and you can see it. Man, it brings a realism back.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of WWE, like Sasha Banks versus Bayley for the champion, the NXT championship, with the match where I can't even think of when it was, 2015, where basically the end of it, she had her in the bank statement, and Bayley was like reaching for the ropes, and she like stomped on her hand and like rolled backwards again. It was like such a violent. It was like one of the most violent matches I've ever seen without tables and stuff, you know.
Well, that's like wasn't the Gail Kim versus, wasn't she the Hot Mess or something? It was a ladder match, and TNA was kind of like that. It was just, like, vicious.
Vicious, but not, like, cartoonish violence. Right. You know, like, just like, oh, she's stepping on her fingers. Like, mm-hmm. ugh.
All right, so what, I know that you've been planning this, you've been discussing this, but what is, in your opinion, the most influential wrestler of the decade, and why is it CM Punk?
John Silver.
Well, no, I'm not, it's wrestling personality, if you ask
Ooh.
Me.
And Bruce Pritchard.
Well, his buddy, Conrad
Thompson.
You know why? Because he's got all these guys' jobs. He's now the king of nostalgia.
Yeah.
And wrestling fans love nostalgia more than anything. And if we can't get past nostalgia, it's never going to... We're always going to get the same boos. You know, CM Punk chants. We're going to get, you know, just all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Conrad has kind of made it, like, not that it wasn't, like, in the forefront, but he's brought it to our attention. And he's become the king of podcasts. You see his face, his T-shirts at all shows. You know, he's kind of taken the ball in a way from Colt Cabana with podcasts and all the million wrestling podcasts out there and run with it and made it something completely different and, you know, kind of harping back on all of our heartstrings with the nostalgia aspect of it.
In a different way, too. Like, I like how the show he does with the Bruce. I don't listen to the other ones, but Something to Wrestle, where it's like he's like interrogating Bruce, and when you get the answers out of like, well, why did this happen? Like, didn't the fans want this? And you hear the actual opinions from like the producer, and he's like, well, we didn't think people, you know, whatever. And you're like, wow, I didn't even conceptualize, even when I was making up theories as to why my favorite wrestler like didn't didn't get what I wanted him to get or her to get. Yeah. It's just like, no, we just thought it would be funnier this way. Like, just dude, his right. like incessant, you know, he's like interrogating the guy in the stand.
Yes. And there's also, you know, the watch along. He's the mystery science theater aspect of the Tony Schiavone podcast.
I mean, I can't argue with this pick. This is a good...
As like a fan of WCW, more so at during WWE kind of in that late 90s era, hearing him just like the same questions you want to yell at Bischoff, he gets to yell for you. He gets, you know, so he's kind of like, he can, as like, as an adult now, your inner kid wrestling fan coming out, being like, this doesn't make sense. This shouldn't have happened. Why did it happen this way?
Now, Norbert, you don't want to go one-on-one here with Matt about why failed UFC fighter and B-level actor Phil Brooks isn't the most important wrestling character of the decade?
Well, hold on, though. We'll get to CM Punk later in the show.
Putting my thumb on the scale.
You mean the guy who quit on us as fans?
Yeah, you quit on him. You quit on him, number one. Number one.
His ball and went home.
Unbelievable. Hey, listen, if it wasn't for him... If it wasn't for him, you
if
know,
it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have.
You know who would be main eventing
snarky.
WrestleMania 2020? It would be Randy Orton versus Triple H.
Good.
And so Norbert, before we let you go, we have time for one more question, and I can either throw it open to you, or I can pick one more question. Do you have anything, any pressing takes or predictions you want to get off your chest?
No. Well, I had a fun prediction that I actually kind of thought of, but it happened, and so I'm like, ooh, I don't know how the internet turned on the Young Bucks. I was like,
really?
How did guys who like, like this week apparently, I guess they quit all their Twitter accounts and whatnot, which kind of looked like it may have been a storyline.
Uh-oh. At the same point, did you just work yourself into a shoot?
Are you working yourself into a shoot, brother?
I hope not, but they got all that grief from those that one like gif of that dude throwing terrible punches at Dustin Rhodes.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
They got so much grief that it was kind of like, all right, we're out.
Well, eventually, like, if you're going to be on TV all the time, people are going to get used to seeing the same flips. And
But it also shows how fickle we are.
True.
You know? You get what you want.
IWC is a fickle beast.
Enough.
That's right.
It really is. It's the worst thing. The worst.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if AEW can continue the momentum into the next decade as the number 1A to WWE.
I'm enjoying it.
But, Norbert, thank you very much for taking the time and joining us today.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, so there you go.
We'll do this in another 10 years.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
2030.
We'll be doing it then.
We'll still be talking about Randy Orton.
Thank you, Norbert.
We'll somehow be talking about Impact.
Yes, it will still be around.
Yes. May it rain forever.
All right, have a good one, Norbert.
Happy New Year.
You too. Happy New Year, guys.
All right, so there you go. There you have it, our first guest. Conrad Thompson. Did not see that coming. I have to admit. I know he's
smart.
A big fan, but it's a good call.
He's a big wheel. He like kind of runs. There's a whole like aspect of the wrestling business that's just like the Conrad Thompson business.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to give it to him.
All right. So we'll see. We could talk wrestling. I have a wrestling montage, as I mentioned. We may have time to get to.
Can't wait.
We're going to sneak another song in here from the countdown.
Love it.
And then get things ready for our next guest, which is going to be a big switch. We're going from wrestling to nutrition.
We should just talk about wrestling with everyone.
Yes, we should. That'd be great. All right, so getting back now to number 45 is Oxen, Tomb of the Ocean.
Excellent.
And now is a song, the one song from 2019 on this countdown.
Wow.
And if I had done a countdown in 2019, this would have been the top five.
Wow.
Didn't listen to enough music this year. But our boys who have now split up, a lot of legal issues in this decade.
Lord.
But this band just had three of their longtime members split off from the lead singer and guitarist. And it is Children of Bodom, my first show at the Palladium. Brought my cousin and a couple of her friends to go see Children of Bodom, Devin Townsend, who was hilarious, Septic Flesh, back in 2011.
Wow.
But now this is current Children of Bodom, out of Finland. This is Hecate's Nightmare off of the Hexed album, which was released this year, and it is number 44 on your top 50 of the decade.
paleo.
There is Children of Bodom, clocking number 44 on a countdown. And now, in order to prep for our next guest, I'm just going back to my co-host from Unbalanced Breakfast with a show on this station, WMFO, way back in 2016 when I was an actual tough student, grad school. And we're going to set the tone with a special, let's see if this works. This was our obscenely long but obscenely entertaining intro to that show.
Excellent.
Wakey, wakey. Eggs and bacon.
Time for an unbalanced breakfast with Matt and Catherine, a.k.a. Smart.
Hamburger, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
My boy says he can eat 50 eggs, he can eat 50 eggs.
Do you like apples?
I don't drink juice.
How about you, Sadburns? You want some of this milk?
Bless his highly nutritious microwaveable macaroni and cheese dinner that people sold it on sale. Amen.
They've got the hottest takes on the hottest stories and trends in food, nutrition, and fitness.
Come on! Bread makes you fat.
Bread makes you fat?
I haven't had a carb since 2004.
Calories, that's a gluten. Fat, that's a gluten.
Yeah, it's got electrolytes.
Filled protein combined with synthetic aminos, vitamins, and minerals. Everything the body needs.
I'm only eating foods with less than 30% calories from fat. It's 40%.
He read the squirrels were high in cholesterol.
We're about to find out what happens when a policy student and a science student interact.
And I also brought you some hydroponically grown goji berries with vegan barbecue sauce and some organic pumpkin chips.
Short answer, being vegan just makes you better than most people.
I happen to be a vegetarian.
You must have had vegetables fresher than that growing up on a farm, Greg.
Never trust a vegetarian.
Looks like meat back on the menu.
The views and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of WMFO, Tufts University, or the Friedman School of Nutrition.
Yes. Who's hungry?
And the people did feast upon the lambs and sloth and calf and anchovies and orangutans and breakfast cereals and fruit bats.
Oh, there you go. Look at these radio professionals.
Here we go.
This is incredible.
WMFO, hello.
Hi, this is Catherine. I'm calling for Matt.
This is Catherine. This is Matt, and you are live on the air.
Oh, my gosh. Hi, everyone.
Hello. Welcome back to the WMFO airwaves.
Thank you. It's been a really long time, actually, and I was realizing that our show was called Unbalanced Breakfast, and now you've moved on to Brutal Brunch.
Mm-hmm.
You've just increased in... I'm sure quality and intensity.
Exactly. And I don't know if you ever I guess you can call him somewhat of a replacement, but Matt, my other co-host. So there's two Matts now who read the show.
Two Matts.
Oh, that's definitely an improvement. More Matts, the more Matts, the better.
Yeah, we get a lot of them.
So, Catherine, as I mentioned before, you came on, the show ran the spring of 2016, and you were responsible for bringing some credibility to the show, such as having guests such as Dr. David Katz and Mary Nestle call in. And now, where have you been? What are you up to now?
Oh my gosh, so I forgot about how long ago this was, mm-hmm. Until you asked me, like, oh, what have you been doing since then? And I was like, I guess a lot. So we graduated, obviously. And then I continued on in the nutrition world and became a registered dietitian, which is a type of nutritionist. So for a while, I worked in a hospital and saw patients there. And then I kind of pulled back into my science background that, you know, we had cultivated at Tufts. And now I work in food research and development. So thinking about how foods can be healthier and how we can talk about nutrition. So
excellent.
It's been a long journey since then, yeah.
I've also had a long journey, not quite like that, because I'm not really in the nutrition space currently. But now, correct me if I'm wrong, but even though you have not been on this radio show, you've been dabbling in some podcasts, right?
Yeah. So, well, I would occasionally pop on and guest podcast on different nutrition-related podcasts, but I did start a podcast with my friend called N Equals One, which unfortunately now is defunct, I hate to say, but hopefully my co-host Kevin will get the mantle and start podcasting again. But our premise was that we were going to take all of these trendy ways of eating or different diets and try them and then kind of talk about the science behind them, the history of them, and then also our own experiences. And of course, you know, he was a postdoc. I was working full time. Ultimately, the timing didn't really work out.
Sure.
So we only got a few episodes of those, but I did get to try a lot of popular diets and kind of test drive those myself. So that was an interesting experience.
Is there one that you would actually recommend and one that you absolutely would not?
You know, what I've found with different types of diets is that folks tend to find one, well, find one or not find one that really works for them. And so the things that I found unbearable, other people find truly sustainable, which is something that we found between the two of us doing the podcast. So, for example, I found keto very difficult, and I think that my co-host, that was something that wasn't super hard for him to sustain. He's a vegetarian, so when he was doing it as a vegetarian, it was hard for him to sustain. Mm. But previously, he had done it for a long period of time without it being troublesome at all. So I think what we both probably took away from it was that for normal, healthy people, there are lots of different ways to eat. Folks kind of have to tailor their diets to their own needs.
That makes sense.
So nothing exciting. I wish I could say I found the one true healthy eating.
Now, yesterday, I ate an entire bag of those holiday butter cookies you can get from the Christmas tree shop. And I feel like that's what works with me.
Is that a sustainable diet?
Yeah.
Is that sustainable?
Is it sustainable? Holiday butter cookies. You know, around the holiday, if you eat holiday butter cookies on a specific holiday that you celebrate, I would say that's sustainable.
Okay.
Pick one holiday, and that's holiday butter cookie day.
Excellent.
There you go. You got your validation.
You know, like every day at 3 o'clock is a holiday, you know, like at work. I'm like,
yeah. Maybe a 3 o'clock holiday needs a more nutrient dense celebration.
It's possible.
Like an apple. Yeah.
So a lot has happened over the past decade related to food. In addition to diets themselves, we've seen a lot of things like, you know, sustainable diets and localism and things like that. Do you think that over the past decade, things have changed at all for the better? And how do you see things going, especially because you have that fly in the ointment called climate change coming up in the next decade?
So this is something that's definitely, because you were the agriculture and environment focus, and I was more head in the textbook biochem focus, that you're definitely more all-rounded on than I am. But I think I would, you know, the needle's moving in a positive direction, because I think in general, at least anecdotally, I've seen that people are embracing technology a lot more as a way to try and improve the food supply. And so there's a lot more of an opportunity to say, how can we make this food that we're eating healthier and more sustainable, and how can we leverage technology to do that? And I think the popularity of things like plant-based alternatives for meat is just one example of how kind of our larger culture's interested in making changes that can incrementally make food healthier and more sustainable. Of course, there's always going to be trade-offs to a certain extent. Again, you would know more about that than I would, but I think that that's definitely a sign in the right direction, that people are looking that way.
Uh-huh. And I find it interesting, too, that you're getting already in the same arguments where, so you have the Impossible Whopper and things like that, and you have a backlash because, you know, dietitians saying that's not actually that still that good for you, which may be true, but it's much better for the environment just comparing the production of an Impossible Whopper as opposed to an actual beef Whopper.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely always going to be some amount of trade-off no matter what anybody's doing, but I think in general, I just would say that the overarching sort of embracing of, hey, we can start looking at technological solutions for these types of things is a net positive change. In terms of each of the individual products, I think that's just going to kind of vary based on, just because diets vary so much with individual needs, it's going to be varied whether or not each individual food is beneficial for each individual person or fits with their way of eating, I guess.
And hence goes back to the concept of N of one, sample size of one.
Yeah, you just got to see what works for you, for sure.
All right, Matt, did you have any other questions or any other eating habits you need to validate for?
Yeah, I'm not very good at eating habits. Will be worked on in the coming new year. But what sorts of projects are you working on in your current position? Can you share those? Like what is it that you're doing in terms of adding like a science based approach, or like using technology to make the foods we have healthier?
Yeah, so without speaking too specifically, the way that I kind of think about it is, how do we try and talk? So there are two kinds of aspects to it, and one is thinking about what are the new things coming down in nutrition science? So sort of outside of that wider realm of where food is going, but thinking about what nutrition scientists are finding, either within healthy foods or healthy aspects of certain foods, and thinking about how could those things potentially get to a wider group of people who could benefit from them. And so that's a lot of what that is just kind of reviewing and understanding nutrition science. So that's a lot of my focus. And then another part of it is being able to understand how can this be explained in a way that makes sense. So a lot of times certain ingredients or vitamins, et cetera, have specific uses or benefits, and how can we talk about that in a way that makes sense? Because I think that's sometimes really difficult for people to understand as well.
I agree. That is the hardest part.
It's good to have a third party. You're kind of like a non-nutrition background
person.
So there you go. All right, Kathy, do you have any other personal brands or anything else to plug before you go? Do you still have a newsletter?
I am not sending out that newsletter currently, but if you wanted to subscribe, you can go to thenutritionwonk.com, WONK.com, and subscribe. And if it starts up again, you can be on the newsletter.
Excellent. So, first in line.
Yes.
And, of course, people can follow you on Twitter, right?
Yes. I'm still on Twitter at nutritionwonk.com. At nutritionwonk, because there's no .com on Twitter.
Right. All right. Well, thank you very much for taking the time and joining us for this little mini 10-minute reunion.
Yes, thank you. You could have just called, but I guess this is good, too.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, have a great new year and nice decade coming up.
Yes. Have a good rest of your recap.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Bye. So there you go. Guest number two.
Well, books. My understanding is that CM Punk stinks, and I'm allowed to eat a box of bunny
cookies. I know, you have to recap everything at the end. We'll have to do a reset.
That's my takeaway. I'm a good listener.
Speaking of resets, that takes us to the top.